it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome, welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm Gene Bolduc, your host, and I am joined by, once again, Louise Tamai-Thelma. I'm just going to continue with that, Aaron Keck.
Hello.
And we're thank you for being with us. And
Happy
and
New Year's Eve.
It's the very, very last day of the year. So while everyone is making their nog and watching football today, what we want to talk about today are some of the superlatives of 2017. And there are many. You don't think of 17 as being a year where things were the greatest thing, you know?
That's true, up to a point.
You think of things that were the biggest thing.
Yes.
I'm not naming any names. Not necessarily the biggest hands or anything like that. But, you know, this bill is the biggest train wreck we ever saw. This repeal and replace. Wow, what a mess that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and other things like that that had the potential for enormous and devastating impact on real people like you and me. That ended up either, you know, not happening or some fraction of them is what happened. Mm-hmm. But also there were some really fast, there were certainly some of the biggest weather events that we've seen in many, many years in the form of these, you know, I wish that they would start naming hurricanes after movie villains or something.
Oh, that'd be good.
You know, like
Hurricane Hans Gruber.
Hurricane Godzilla struck
Hurricane
the
Godzilla,
you know
yes.
struck Florida today. I think that would be better. I'm gonna suggest to the National Weather Service because
Please
I
do.
Know that they listen to the Weekend Water Cooler.
Yes.
That in the future that we just you know let's be naming hurricanes with appropriately, not human names for one thing because mm-hmm. you know, here you are. Your wife's name is Irma. Your wife's name. I remember when Hurricane Jean came through some years ago.
Poor Harvey and Irma, because you know there's a couple. You know there's a couple, Harvey and Irma.
I know these people, and nobody invited them to a New Year's Eve party. Okay? They do not, you do not want Harvey and Irma at your New Year's Eve party. Your house would be trashed. Think about it.
Yeah, God. Although I am still a little bit miffed that there is no Hurricane Aaron in the cycle.
Cut it out. Never? There's never been
there's
one?
They've got a list of names that they cycle back through,
right?
And Aaron is not one of the A names. I have to wait for one of the A hurricanes to be so severe that the name gets retired. And that doesn't happen very
yes.
often because that's always the first hurricane of the season.
That's a
so
very
it's not
good
always
point.
A really strong one. Agnes got retired,
okay.
but there are others. But,
okay.
but it's not common. And once a name gets retired, they add a new name into the cycle. But I don't think Aaron is next on the list either. I've got to sit around and wait for a whole bunch of horrible hurricanes to happen at the very beginning of the year to
Timing.
Have my moment of glory, and I'm miffed about that.
Now, do they not go back? Because we've had a couple of years when they've gone through more than 26 storms.
They go to – that only happened once. That happened in 2005. That was the year of Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane
right?
Rita.
Right.
And that one year, they
go back to the beginning
26,
of the alphabet?
They go to Greek letters. Hurricane Alpha, Hurricane Beta is what happened.
And they should have gone to Hurricane Aaron and then Beta.
Yes.
Alpha and Beta, this is what they can come up with?
Well, they don't.
You know, we need some Hollywood people at the National Weather Service.
I'm okay with that because that suggests that this is not a thing that comes up on a regular basis. And I'm okay with the fact that we don't have 27 hurricanes every season.
Well, true, true.
27 named storms
yeah,
every
but
season.
I think that I really feel like Godzilla would be a great name for
hurricane.
A hurricane.
Godzilla.
Because by the time you get to the G's, you know, remember that the ones that we've had trouble with were Floyd and Fran,
mm-hmm.
not in the same year. And so by the F, as you say, the first storm of the year is probably
right.
not going to be the one that's going to be. Although Andrew,
Andrew,
pretty impressive.
Yeah, God, why did I bypass Andrew and think of Agnes? Yeah, Andrew was a bad one. My grandmother's name is Arlene, and Arlene has come around a couple of times. It was It was fun. About 10 years ago, my grandparents would always go to Gulf Shores, Alabama to spend the winter on the Gulf. And one year, Tropical Storm Arlene makes a beeline right for Gulf Shores. And my grandma had a good time with that.
I bet she did. Yeah. And she got a speed pass out of town, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was after they had gone home.
Yes. Yes. After they got home, she laughed it up. But when she was there, she said, "My name's Arlene," and everybody slammed the door in her face.
Yep.
And then, you know, nailed it shut.
It was just a wind tunnel.
Okay, so here's my question. Let's start out with that. What do you think was the storm that has the most impact, the most lasting impact?
Maria.
Hard to pick one.
Yeah. Maria, definitely.
Definitely Maria.
Yes. Because I mean, the impact of Hurricane Harvey, the impact of Hurricane Irma, both really, really significant. The impact of Hurricane Maria was devastating, just not
and
to,
is still
and is still devastating.
Right.
Yeah. To just not to mainland U.S., to Puerto Rico, and to, like, not even just Puerto Rico, but several islands in the Caribbean were just absolutely wiped
out.
And
I think probably, too, reveals, not unlike what Katrina did, reveals some very substantial structural weaknesses in how Americans view Puerto Rico, how the president views people who, you know, aren't voting for him for president. I think that gives all of us some insight. Apparently, this is when Donald Trump learned that islands are surrounded by water.
Yeah.
You can't make it up.
You really can't.
You really can't.
The fascinating thing that I've been fascinated by is to think back now, because I'm born in 1979. So I have always lived in a world where Hawaii was a state. In 1941, when Pearl Harbor gets bombed, Hawaii was not a state. It was a territory in the Pacific that probably no one thought a lot about, in the same way that we don't really think a lot about Guam today.
Right.
18 years after Pearl Harbor, we make Hawaii a state. I feel that we should be doing the same thing with Puerto Rico. I think if Puerto Rico – I think we could definitely spend a lot of time talking about the – racial aspect of the government's response to Houston and Key West, and how energetic the government was in responding, and how energetic the American people were in responding to that versus the response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. Yes, there's a racial aspect to it. I also think there is a geographic aspect or a governmental aspect to it, in that Houston is part of a state and Key West is part of a state, and Puerto Rico is part of an autonomous territory, and Americans don't necessarily know what our responsibility is with respect to Puerto Rico. I think if Puerto Rico were a state and everything else were exactly the same, the response would have been significantly different. It wouldn't have been, I don't think it would have been exactly the same, but I think it would have been significantly different.
Same true for the American Virgin Islands. I mean, the president of the United States talking about the president of the Virgin Islands saying, sorry, that's you.
Yeah. So this is my call. This is my quixotic quest. We need to make Puerto Rico a state. And if that means that we have to do something else to keep the number of states at around even 50, which I think is the largest obstacle to adding new states, is that we don't want to go from 50 to 51, because 51 is just kind of a weird round, non-round number. We like 50. I say we combine the Dakotas together into one state. That's my suggestion.
Not North and South Carolina.
Not North and South Carolina. No, those are distinct entities. But
yeah, they really are. Yeah. But I don't think 9 out of 10 of our listeners could tell you a whole lot of differentiation between North and South Dakota, except maybe you know, one has the
background.
Has Mount Rushmore and the other one doesn't.
The other one has the Badlands. Yeah.
Yeah, the Badlands. Ooh, bad. How bad are they? Maybe they're just the, you know, not the best lands. We try to stay positive.
They are so bad. They sold 20 million copies in 1985.
Of the Badlands?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a Michael Jackson reference.
It's a Michael Jackson reference to bad.
What's next?
Yeah, what's next? What's next for us?
Do you agree with me on Storm, though? Hurricane Maria, the biggest one?
Yeah, I got to say it. I got to say it's Maria just because of the lasting impact, the number of people. And by the way, we still don't know the number of people killed. Donald Trump was loving saying that, you know, that there were just so few deaths and whatever. But it turns out there's well over 1,000 people who are not yet accounted for, who were almost certainly killed in the storm. And for some reason it's not that
1,000 people are unaccounted for. It's that 1,000 people are accounted for. They died in the aftermath of the storm.
You're exactly right.
And that's just a significant – it's that many more people who died in the month after Maria.
Whoever was keeping these statistics somehow did not categorize these right away as storm deaths.
Well, because they're not necessarily – I mean, what does it mean to die in a storm, right? I mean, there's someone who gets caught in a flood and drowns, but then there's someone who...
There's someone who's in a hospital that lost power.
They're in a hospital that loses power
fresh water, and they die of a bacterial infection. And yeah, I think that's probably storm-related.
Yeah.
I could make that call. So call me, you guys, if you need somebody to make that call, because that seems pretty clear to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't hire Gene to be a claims adjuster for an insurance company.
Yeah, no, don't do that, because I will... I would quickly bankrupt the insurance company and be fired, I assure you. And I used to work for a couple of insurance companies, so let me tell you, they go through claims adjusters pretty fast.
I was going to say, did you have to sign a non-compete to work for two... insurance companies all the same.
No,
time.
I just mean sequentially.
No, I'm sorry, Allstate can't cover you. Have you tried State Farm?
What a wise guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would not do that. I wouldn't go quite that far. I would go far enough to say, thankfully, folks, that you're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll be right back. And we're back. Gene Bolduc here on the Weekend Water Cooler, talking to Aaron Keck. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
We're talking about superlatives, like in your high school yearbook, class clown. I think we all know who gets that one. I was a class clown, though, I have to say. Look how great I turned out.
Yeah, I was a class clown. I wasn't the class clown.
You weren't
clown.
The.
I mean, had competition as far as that goes. There were a few that I could think of.
Were you in a high comedy zone in your class?
We actually were a pretty funny class, to be honest. I had a really good high school experience.
Me too.
For three reasons. Number one,
I went
to a high school that had a lot of extracurricular opportunities
Fantastic.
That I took advantage of.
Right.
Number two, I had a lot of really good teachers,
right.
people who were just excellent at their jobs. And number three, our class was actually, I mean, we were jerks to each other in middle school, but by the time we got to be sophomores, juniors, and seniors, while there were still... You know, some degree.
It's always
still
an outlier.
Some degree of jerkiness that we espoused with respect to each other. We actually got along surprisingly well relative to most high school classes.
And did you have groups of people that like I was involved in all of the musicals at high school?
Yeah.
I was on the behind the scenes. I was in the stage manager type thing. And there's sort of that crowd. There's the theater crowd and the orchestra kids.
Yeah,
and then there's the athletes, and there's the real nerdy nerds, I guess. And then there's the greasers and science club, right? AV club.
Yeah. They kind of
left each other alone for the most part.
We had some overlap. One of my best friends from high school was the theater guy. One of my best friends from high school was the drum major in the marching band. There was a lot of overlap between, like, there was definitely a band clique, but they weren't exclusive. Like, they had a lot of friends who were outside of the band. The science geeks existed, but it was a small coterie of science geeks. And they overlapped a little bit with overlapped quite a bit with the D&D crowd. And I was sort of peripheral on both of those. We didn't have much in the way of an athlete clique, because while my high school has a pretty good athletics history, we weren't very good at sports at the time that I was
there. So you were there
the
during the rebuilding years.
40-game losing streak while I was there. So
yeah, you got to work at that.
And the basketball team was fine, but it wasn't like world beating. It wasn't going to be competing for state championships or anything like that. So there were athletes. There wasn't much in the way of like an athlete's clique or
That's
anything.
That's interesting.
Like that.
You know, in Michigan, yeah. They're into their athletics.
Yeah. Well, I went to my high school was Magic Johnson's high school, Lansing Everett.
What in the world?
Yeah.
What happened, man?
I mean, the basketball program's just, back.
They just produced this one awesome guy, and that was it?
And also Magic Johnson, yeah.
Oh, wow. And so humble, too.
Someone once said, oh, that's really cool. You went to Magic Johnson High School. I said, no, he went to mine.
Yeah, right. Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, he went to mine. Also, I didn't go to Magic Johnson High School. I went to Magic Johnson's High School.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So did he come back while you were there?
We named the gym after him, and he came back.
The Magic Gym.
He came back, and it was not the greatest return of all time, because he came back and was there for the ceremony for about 5 minutes and then took off again and like really clearly didn't want to be there. But I think he was just having a bad day that day. He's done a lot of other good things.
So. Yes. Well, you know, my husband met Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
My husband used to work at North Carolina Mutual. I don't think he'd mind my telling this story. Mm. He worked at North Carolina Mutual, and Magic Johnson was involved with the company in something that I can't remember. And so Rick had the opportunity to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my husband is my height, and which is about 5'7". I'm 5'7". He's about 5'8".
Mm-hmm.
And Magic Johnson, as you might be aware, is somewhat taller than that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what struck Rick was that when he met him, not only did he get a crick in his neck just looking up at the guy, but when he shook hands with him, it's like his hand just disappeared into the enormous space that is what's inside the handshake, the very gentle and friendly handshake of Magic Johnson, which was, you know, a great experience for him. I met James Worthy with my younger brother is 6'5", 6'5½. And I said to him, oh, you know, you and James Worthy are the same size. He said, no, we're not.
Yeah.
And there was an opportunity locally to go meet him at some event when he was with the Lakers. And Chris said, no, you're going to see he's a lot bigger than I am.
Uh-huh.
And he said, because Chris has seen him play. And at fairly close range, and had every idea that.
Right.
And so I go up, and here I am, very proudly saying, "Hey, you know, I went to Carolina. It's great to see you." And here's my brother, who I think is the same size as you. And he looks at my brother, and he said, "Well, I don't think so." He was very nice about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sort of stood up next to him, and Chris is like, "See what I'm saying?"
Yeah.
I think what is Worthy about maybe 6'8 or 6'9, but it wasn't just that he's a couple of inches taller. He is massively larger.
He's a big guy, right?
He is massively larger, and it's really an amazing thing. Yeah. It does not translate on TV, I will say that.
Let's go back and emphasize Magic Johnson's huge hands and gentle handshake, which is the opposite of Donald Trump, right?
It really is.
Yeah,
isn't that a fascinating thing? I think that Donald Trump's, I mean, aside from all the jokes about the size of his hands, and he does have, by the way, documented small hands.
Just fine, by the way.
This thing that he does with his handshake where, you know, he's not done shaking your hand until he's dislocated your shoulder.
Yeah. Well, it's a power play. I mean,
it's the same thing as
him pushing that one president of Slovakia or whatever out of the way at that photo op.
You know, all these occurrences, it just makes me wish that at some point some woman leader would, maybe it'll be Merkel at some point in the future, will just turn and give him a little jujitsu right where he doesn't want it. And just say, you know, if you yank on my arm like that again, of course he'd have to shake her hand in order to do that, which he refused to do, being the classy guy that he is. That little stunt that he did in the Oval that was the best example of bad manners that you're probably going to see for the whole year of just overtly rude manners. That was pretty much it.
Which is saying a lot for 2017.
Yeah, that's a tough crown to get. But I think his rudeness to her was right up there at the top of the line. So let me ask you.
All right.
If you'll be ready when we come back, we'll take another break, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask you about what game professional or college, did you think was the best game of 2017?
Okay.
Aaron's going to mull that over. We're going to give him about, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's going to think it over, and then we'll be back with more here on the Weekend Water Cooler with Gene Bolduc and Aaron Keck talking about 2017 and drawing it all to a close, as we all are on New Year's Eve. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Aaron Keck, and we're talking on the water cooler about what was best about 2017. We're trying to end up the year on a positive note. So, Aaron,
yes.
What was the best game of any sport, I'll throw you that curveball, of
okay.
any sport, either college or professional, that you watched? And just at the end, I want to know what game you watched, and at the end of it, you were just exhausted from the drama of the game.
Okay, so there are three contenders for this. I know you're going to go with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time deciding between the Elite Eight game where Luke May hit the shot to beat Kentucky and the national championship game where UNC beat Gonzaga.
That's difficult. That's difficult.
For me, it's got to be a UNC win during the NCAA tournament because, I mean, I moved to the area in 2008. I was fine with UNC. I didn't dislike them, but I wasn't really a huge fan. And I've gradually become more and more of a fan of UNC over the years. The last time Carolina won the national championship was 2009. First of all, wasn't a huge fan of UNC. I was fine with them winning, but whatever. Also, I grew up in Michigan, so I was and still am a very big Michigan State fan.
Right.
So I was disappointed with the outcome of that game. So 2017 was the first chance that I had to really celebrate UNC winning a national championship.
Right.
And I ran up to Franklin Street. I did that whole thing.
Yep.
I hugged a stranger.
It was the whole
championship experience, so that was cool. But I think as far as the actual game goes, Luke May's shot to beat Kentucky was probably the best game.
That really was pretty good.
Yeah.
That really was pretty good. And I have to say, I remember this now that you're mentioning about beating Gonzaga to win the championship.
Mm.
I feel generous in this way. I'm probably not supposed to say this, but I was so happy for Gonzaga to get to the championship because, I mean, every year it seems like,
the Zags, they could really break through and they lose, and they just
never seem to break through.
The fact that they made
it
to the Final Four, the fact that they got to the title game, and this is the other thing, too, that makes the difference for me between those two games. I like Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a great team.
Yeah.
I'm totally happy with them winning the national championship. I hate Kentucky. Kentucky can just go away as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Kentucky football, don't have a problem with it. Kentucky basketball,
I
think you've won enough.
Yeah.
I say this as someone who likes UNC. I like Duke. I still do. I like Michigan State. So I'm not averse to rooting for teams that have had long histories of college basketball success. Kentucky, on the other hand, can take a hike.
Yeah,
so
they can,
the fact that they lost to Carolina in the Elite Eight, I was real happy
about. I'm always happy to see them go home. I want them to watch the championship and enjoy it from a nice, comfortable recliner at home with popcorn and just really enjoy the game, while not playing in it.
Just have a good time enjoying it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they can all, write mean tweets to Christian Leitner or whatever they want to do. That's okay with me.
Although there's no connection between Kentucky and that Duke game now because they're all one and done's at Kentucky anyway. So there's no institutional history or memory or anything like that.
Oh, one and done. I feel so sad about that.
Yeah.
I do have a wonderful Sean May story, speaking of UNC championships. In 2005... at the night of the championship game, my son had some knee surgery a week or two before the game, and that afternoon of the game, I looked at the back of his knee and it looked like a relief map of Asia or something. It looked like a mountain range of bruising and scary things. And of course, this was
Say relief map, because that implies it rises and falls, which is a whole other image.
It looked like mountain ranges and rivers and things that you don't want to see at the back of your knee.
Yeah.
And I'm a veteran of knee surgeries, and I had not seen this particular phenomenon before. And so I was concerned about it. And I called the doctor's office, and I got the orthopedist who was covering for our orthopedist. And he said, you know, we have to be concerned about deep vein thrombosis. I hate to do this to you, but I really need for you to come to the emergency room and get an ultrasound done so we can have a look, make sure he doesn't have a clot in his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay. So we piled in the car that afternoon at like 5 o'clock of championship night, right?
Nice. Yeah.
And we go over and we sit for hours and hours in the emergency room with him, waiting and waiting for them to come and do this. And my husband and I are checking our phones, mm-hmm. our competing devices for updates on the game.
They don't have a TV in the emergency
room? They don't have a TV.
They have one like in the corner,
they
right?
did not. Not in 2005 at Durham Regional. They did not have a TV there. And
I would have figured they would have installed TVs in emergency rooms before people had the capacity to check the score of the game on their phones.
You would have thought that.
I would have thought that.
Yeah, you'd be wrong though.
Okay.
And they kept scolding us to turn off the cell phones or be kicked out because they didn't want cell phones competing, I guess, with, you know, stopping somebody's pacemaker from working or whatever the concern was. So the long story short is his leg was okay.
Mm-hmm.
We left the ER, got in the car, listened to WCHL and heard Woody Durham calling the game on the way home for about the last
short
rebounded 10 minutes of the game.
It's over. Carolina
and
has won the national championship.
Well, yeah, right. Talk about spoilers. So, and my son is saying, Sean May, it's your birthday. It was his birthday, remember? So we got home. We literally watched maybe the last 90 seconds of the game on TV. Did we record it? Oh, no, of course not.
Of course not.
Yeah. So we pretty much missed the whole game, missed watching the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So several years later, my son worked at Harris Teeter. And who should walk in the store but Sean May?
Mm-hmm.
And my son recognized him and told him this story. And he said, you know, my mother went to Carolina and she's a big fan. And it was just killing her to miss this game. And he said, well, your mom must really love you. And he said, well, she says so and all this. So Rob asked him if he would be so kind as to just hang on for 1 second, and Rob ran over to the greeting card section and got this greeting card that was blank, and he brought it over, and Sean May wrote in,
oh, that's cool.
Happy birthday, sorry you had to miss the game, Sean May.
Oh, that's great.
And so Rob gives this to me for my birthday, and he
Please
says—
Please tell me that he just pulled a card without looking at it, and it was this is completely inappropriate greeting card with like a shoebox greetings cartoon of a
No, unfortunately,
dog
he did take
snow.
A moment. He did take a moment to look at it and make sure that it was blank so that whatever was in it was what Sean said.
Yeah. Well, and, no, there's still got to be something on the front, though, right?
Yeah, there
what
is.
Was on the front?
I have no idea what's on the front. What's on the front is a picture of shock on my face.
Okay.
That my son came home from work and told me that he had met Sean May. The only thing that was more shocking to me was the day that he came home and told me he met John Edwards in the grocery store.
Oh, wow.
And
stars are just like us.
I said, everybody needs a loaf of bread if it's going to snow.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to say.
That's true.
It's not going to snow on New Year's Eve, is it?
I don't know.
No, it could never snow on New Year's Eve.
We're
North
recording
Carolina?
This show way in advance.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the next few days before New Year's Eve.
It could be Hurricane Aaron by then.
Yeah,
we don't even know.
Well, probably not because it's still 2017.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd loop forward.
Yeah, we're recording
this way in advance. We don't know if tax reform passed. We don't know what happened
just
on
think
December 27th.
For all we know, there's five more indictments that have come down.
Maybe.
We don't even know if there is still a Trump administration by this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, what an idea that could all be over by the time this airs.
Yeah.
It's not that far in advance. Okay, well, we'll be back with more. We have many more interesting superlatives to observe for 2017. And we are joined today, thank goodness, by Dr. Aaron Keck. And you're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler here on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back on the Water Cooler with our closing moments of 2017 with Aaron Keck.
Thank goodness.
Aaron, I can't believe this year is finally going to come to an end. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's really going to happen.
It's true.
And then we'll have a brand new year of new superlatives, new catastrophes, political and otherwise,
new
to talk
good
about. So we do a thing on your show on Friday afternoons, mm-hmm. which is so much fun that it involves heroic horns. So that's important to
yes.
note. And the segment that we do is called Thing Not a Thing. And we talk about things that blow up in social media and yet turn out to not be that much of a thing. Sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not. So for your money, what was the biggest thing in 2017 that turned out not to be a thing?
Not to be a thing. I think repeal and replace, which turned out not to be a thing.
The Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, is my first thought. I'm going to have to go back through the entire history of 2017 because there was a lot of stuff that we got upset about that wasn't actually that big of a deal. But 2017 was such a wild and crazy year
right.
that if on Tuesday Facebook blows up with people angry about such and such, by Thursday it's gone and it's been replaced with three new
right.
things. So the biggest thing that wasn't actually a thing is something that was sustained for a while, and I think that was repealed and replaced.
Right. I would agree that it turned out to be a big poof that
yeah.
everybody was terribly, terribly worried about, and at the end of September was extremely relieved that vaporized and went away.
Yeah.
The other thing for me that I guess I'm going to put in the category of a thing that should have been a bigger thing
mm-hmm.
and should be a thing right up until this moment is gun control. I mean, as we record today on the 14th, it's the anniversary. It's a 5-year anniversary of the Newtown shooting.
Mm-hmm.
There was this horrible incident. Well, which one? There was what happened in Charlottesville, which was just this terrible and illustrative moment racially, and
mm-hmm.
Which did not involve gun violence. Somehow, even though you had a lot of people there carrying weapons openly,
mm-hmm.
very substantial weapons. But, you know, a car turned out to be a weapon and what killed an innocent person. And two members of law enforcement were killed. And that should have been a moment. That moment of protest that turned into violence and the president got into it with both feet, one in his mouth at all times, as usual. Gosh, that was a depressing and awful display of presidential cowardice, just craven awful cowardice on his part and ignorance on his part. But then we also had this terrible shooting in Las Vegas, massive, hundreds and hundreds of people shot, many people killed. I don't know, what was the total number of people killed? 80-some people killed or something?
Yeah.
A very large number of people killed. In my mind, the national debate on gun control should have launched at that moment and should not stop until there is significant reform legislation. And for my money, and again, I know all these Democrats who are running next year are listening, I just think that has to be front and center. There's always this cliched nonsense about, oh, it's not the right time to talk about it.
Mm.
Well, next year's an election year. That's when we ought to talk about it. We ought to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it.
Yeah. Gun control has never been my top issue. I don't personally, I don't think that the the gun control measures that are being debated and discussed are going to move the dial all that much in terms of the crime rate, the murder rate. I think one thing that we have to keep in mind is, minus the last couple years where we've seen a spike in the violent crime rate has been declining every single
right.
year since
right.
1990, and that includes the murder rate, and that's something that we have to factor in to this as well. I am in support of a number of what I think are just sort of basic common sense measures.
Yeah, that most people,
bump
the vast
stocks
majority,
for one thing,
right.
background checks.
Huge majorities of Americans support these things.
Yeah.
And yet,
like high capacity magazines,
right.
high capacity magazines
can't get passed.
Yeah, high capacity magazines, because if the NRA is correct that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun,
which is
then
not
let's
true.
Let's ban high capacity magazines so that when the bad guy with the gun comes into the room and starts firing, he's not able to get off 100 rounds before the good guy with the gun has a chance to respond.
Right. Because machine guns have been illegal for a very long time, since
yeah.
the 30s.
Well, let's tack on bump stocks to that as well.
Right.
But,
yeah, but there was discussion about that, and then it just disappeared.
And then it just went away,
and
because
you
know, that's exactly
it became not a thing.
Exactly what they wanted. All of that aside, gun control is not really my number one issue. What I think is worth noting is just how, and the Las Vegas shooting brings this to the fore even more clearly than ever before, is just how disingenuous and BS-y every single argument in this debate is.
Right.
Just every single argument that people – and this is true in general. When people are talking about politics, we've got our opinions first, and then we come up with rationalizations to justify the opinions we already have. And the rationalizations are BS-y. We don't really mean them. When the situation is reversed, we'll make exactly the opposite argument, and that's just true across the board. But God, gun control is just the worst as far as this goes. The whole notion of the Second Amendment being the last line of defense against tyranny, made by the exact same people who will turn around 5 seconds later and call for huge increases in military spending,
right.
military-grade weapons being given to local law enforcement, and let's let law enforcement run wild and free in terms of restrictions on, or like due process restrictions and things like that. And why are you criticizing the troops? Why are you criticizing law enforcement? The same people will then
right.
turn around and be like, well,
right.
we need the Second Amendment in case we need to rebel against.
And the FBI is
tyranny.
Crooked,
yeah,
even though
like,
I love law enforcement. But, you know, I don't know if Trump is aware that the FBI is actually in law enforcement.
Make an effort to be consistent with the arguments.
Well, I mean,
that we're
you just reminded me of yet another event that I think, you know, you think about 2017 and you could have let this slip off your radar.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that some years ago when Gabby Giffords was shot in the head
mm-hmm.
while on the job,
yeah.
that would have stirred things a little bit in Congress. It didn't seem to move the needle.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year, Steve Scalise, a guy
right.
in leadership, in a Republican,
yeah.
was killed out on the baseball field.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I beg your pardon. Oh,
yeah.
my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Scalise. was shot, very, very nearly killed,
yes.
Came very close to dying during a practice for the congressional annual – is it a softball game? It's a softball game, right?
Yeah, softball or baseball.
Were it not for the fact that he's in leadership and so had a security contingent
mm-hmm.
with him, there would have been probably a dozen members of Congress
yeah.
killed out there.
Yeah.
Man, would that have done it? I mean, what is it going to take?
Because
21st graders didn't do it.
For people who have like a hard opinion on gun control, and this is true of both sides, by the way, like gun rights advocates, gun control advocates, people have a hard and fast opinion on gun control, then we can come up with any rationalization at all. My favorite historical quote of all time is Ben Franklin saying, I am a reasonable person, and the best thing about being a reasonable person is that you can come up with a reason for anything.
For anything.
So
oh,
if you are a gun control advocate and Gabby Giffords gets shot, that to you is a sign that we need gun control. If you are a gun rights advocate and Gabby Giffords gets shot, that's a sign that Gabby Giffords should have been armed so that she could have defended
Although
herself.
Although Gabby Giffords is a gun owner and yeah. is happy to defend her right to yeah. have a gun. And I'm happy for her to advocate for that position. And her husband does as well.
Yeah.
I think that overall, the national policy on this issue and many, many others brings me to what I want to take away from 2017, which is 2017 showed some of the flex of the muscle of the American voter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see that big time next year.
And it's not even just voting. It's getting out and being
active.
It's
the mobilization,
and
right.
and mobilized and talking to people. And going back,
right.
last point on guns, the people who have really hard and fast opinions on gun rights, gun control, their minds are not going to be changed by any horrible event.
One way or the other.
The people
right.
who are going to change their minds, the people who are going to have their minds changed are people who haven't given a lot of thought to the issue one way or the other.
And who are those people?
They're out there. Like, there's a lot of people who don't have super strong opinions on gun control, just the same way as there are people out there who don't have super strong opinions on gay rights, foreign policy, race in America, all of these other issues. And those are the people that we need to be getting out there actively engaging and mobilizing.
And that's what we're working on next year,
that's
right?
That's what we got to focus on in 2018.
Well, we've wrapped up the whole year, and
go.
It's the end of the year, and you know it.
Fine.
Thank you so much, Aaron Keck. I'll see you in the new year,
yes.
and thanks for being
Happy
on the
new
water
year.
Cooler all the time. Every time I ask, you're so generous with your time, and I appreciate it. And we appreciate all of you, of course. Everyone, Happy New Year from the Weekend Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.